the fourth reading of Parshas Pinchas, Moshe Rabbeinu responds to the overtures made by the daughters of Tzelophchad, and he ensures that their inheritance is taken care of. And at this point, having been involved in the battle of Sichon and Og, Moshe Rabbeinu began to think that perhaps the ban had been lifted and that he would enter the land of Israel. And so, in chapter 27, from verse 12 onward, Moshe Rabbeinu gets the bad news. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God says to Moshe, I want you to go on to the Mount of Avarim, and there you will see the land that I'm going to give to the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is informed that after having seen this, that he will pass on. Moshe Rabbeinu, now having discovered that he's not going to make it into the land of Israel, ultimately, begins immediately to address God, and if he's not going to get his wishes granted, he's worried about the people. And that's all. Pick it up this morning, chapter 27, verse 15. Vayedaber Moshe el Hashem lemer. Moshe now speaks to God, saying, now this is a very unusual verse. It sounds so much like hundreds of verses in the Torah, except in those verses it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe. God speaks to Moshe, lemer. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to God, lemer. And there's two things that we can notice immediately in this verse. Number one is the word vayedaber. Vayedaber is a kind of tough talk. This is not a soft posture. Moshe Rabbeinu is not saying this softly, number one. And number two, it says lemer. And usually lemer is that he should say this. God says to Moshe, lemer, so saying. You know, this is what he's saying, or convey it on. And here, who is Moshe talking to? Talking to God. So the pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemer," and Rashi transcribes the words "Vayidaber Moshe." Moshe speaks El Hashem V'Goymer, so clearly he's also talking about the last word of Lemer. And he says that this pasuk broadcasts a powerful message to us: "Lahidia Shivchan Shel Tzadikim." This broadcasts the praise, the virtue of the truly righteous. Shekishin Iftarim Min Ha'Olam. That in their final moments, when they're going to be leaving this world, manichim tzarchan, they set aside their own needs, va'oiskim b'tzarchei tzibur, and they involve themselves in the needs of the others, the needs of the community, the needs of their flock. Many years ago, when I was living in Yerushalayim, so there was Parshas Vayechi. I don't remember where we were for Friday night, and one of my students was an Ivy League student from Yale University. And he talked about, he had graduated with honors. I think his major was philosophy. And he talked about Aristotle's last hours and Jacob's last hours. And he talked about how Aristotle pushed everybody aside. They didn't want to deal with his students, and he said, now this is my time, my last moments. And Yaakov Avinu, whose last moments were totally devoted to his children and the future of the Jewish people. And I think you see the same thing here. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu just got this terrible news. You know, he thought, okay, Sichon Og, I'm making my way, we're getting in, this is the land that's going to be inherited by the Jewish people, and I'm here, and then he gets the bad news. And his first response is not, come on, really? Once Hashem says, that's it, the ban has not been lifted, Moshe Rabbeinu's immediate concern is, okay, what will happen with the Jewish people? And he doesn't say anything about himself. His first concern is, we need to take care of Am Yisrael. And that's why he says lemer. Lemer, well, who is lemer? I mean, like, usually we say, well, God speaks to Moshe, and he says it, lemer, saying, meaning you should say this to somebody else. Who should God say this to? So Rashi explains here, Omar loy, over here, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to God, Hashiveni, I need to get an answer. I'm not just saying this. I'm saying these words because I want a response. Answer me. If you're going to listen to my request, are you going to appoint a leader in love or not? And that is Moshe Rabbeinu's request. Let God, the God of spirits, appoint. It's the first time we have this expression, this description of God. God's job description of the God of spirits of all flesh. Let him appoint Ish al Ha'eda, a man over the congregation. So, the first thing that we hear is Yifkeid Hashem. Hashem should appoint. Rashi says, Kevan Sheshama Moshe, Sha'amr Lehamakim. Since Moshe Rabbeinu heard that God told him, Tein Nachlas Tzilofchad Lebneisav, give the inheritance of Tzilofchad to his daughters. But he didn't have any sons. That's true, but he had daughters. And at any rate, inheritance is inheritance. So therefore, the inheritance gets transferred to his daughters, which is a real novelty, because the land of Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be divided territorially according to the tribal ancestry. And here we have daughters, so they don't have the tribal ancestry of Tzilofchad, who's from Manasseh, and they may marry women or men from any other tribe. And in that case, you're going to have land that belongs to Manasseh will end up in another tribe. Was the real, a big chiddush, a big novelty here. And yet, that's what God said to happen. So once that was the case, Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, so bottom line is inheritance, even if the inheritor is not exactly what you planned. In that case, Igiya Shah She'ezba Tzarki. Then in that case, I guess I should be asking for my needs too. So really the primary ask was, take care of the Jewish people. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you've taken care of the Jewish people, and this is a position that I was given by Hashem, so the halacha is, sheyishu vanai ezdulasi. My children should then inherit my greatness. Almighty God said to Moshe, loichach olsa b'machshava lefonai. That's not what I had in mind. I like your request. I like the idea. Yes, yes, the people need a leader, but it's not going to be your children. That's not what I had in mind. Kedai, it's worthy and appropriate who? Yehoshua, little schar shimusha. Now is the time for Yehoshua to receive the reward of his service. Now Yehoshua was a person who was always in the shadows, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. It was never, ever about Yehoshua. It was always about Moshe Rabbeinu. He was an invisible, totally completely devoted chassid. And people couldn't even imagine him as a leader. All they saw him was as an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu. Wherever Moshe Rabbeinu was, Yehoshua was. And now Hashem says, no, this is now his time for him to come take the reward for that service, that dedication. He never for a moment left the side of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is what King Solomon says in his wisdom in the book of Proverbs in the 27th chapter, that he says there in verse 18, the one who worked really hard to take care of the vineyard, of the orchard, of the figs, he's the one who eats the figs. So he worked at it, he gets it. So this is the idea of Yifked. Yifked, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, Yifked also comes to the terminology of replacement. Like Yipokate, there's going to be an emptiness, a vacancy. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to vacate the leadership position. His son should replace him. God says no. Now he asks that God, who is Elikei HaRuches, what does this mean, God is the God of spirits? He may as well say Elikei HaBriya, the God of creation. The God of heaven and earth. Why the God of spirits? God created everything. He created mountains and valleys. He created waterfalls and he created oceans. Why Elikei HaRuches? Why the God of spirits? So Rashi asks this question, which is unusual. Usually Rashi just gives us an answer. You're supposed to figure out the question by yourself. Yeah, Rashi says, Lo Manemen. Why does it say this? Omer Lefonov, he said before God, Rebbeinei Shalolam, Master of the Universe, Goloi V'yadua Lefonecha, it is known to you, you know how every person has their own shtick. You know how everybody has his own ideas. Everybody's got his own opinion. Everybody's got his own way of looking at things. You know that. You know how different people are. You know that no two people are alike. What I'm asking for is that you appoint over them a manhig, a leader, who will be able to suffer. He should be able to suffer everybody. He should be able to understand everybody. He should be empathetic to each individual. Each one with their needs, each one with their Weltanschauung, with their perspective, with their own unique set of quirks, every single person with their own shtick. You have to give a leader who can be a Lekei Ruches, a person who can relate to everybody. What is that? What else? So Lekei Ruches is really speaking not about God, but speaking about the kind of leader. But he addresses God as Lekei HaRuches, as if to give the subliminal subtext here is, this is the kind of leader that I'm hoping you'll appoint, a Lekei HaRuches that should be able to relate to each one, should be able to empathize with each one, appreciate where each one is coming from. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is forthright in explaining and talking about the kind of leader he's looking for, Asher Yetzel Lefneim, a leader who will go before them, Asher Yavi Lefneim will come before them, Asher yotzi aim, who will take them out, v'asher yivi aim, who will bring them in. V'leisiyah adas Yisrael, the congregation of Israel, will not be katzayin asher ein lahem roya, like sheep who have no shepherd. So what does this mean? Asher yotzi lifneim, v'asher yavi lifneim, and then yotziyam v'yavi aim. As if Rashi, the Chumash repeats itself almost really three times here. Okay, asher yotzi lifneim, he goes up before them. Nope. He also has to be Yavi Lefneim. What does it mean? Yavi and Yetze. And then we go into this business that he has Yotzi Aim and Yavi Aim. So Rashi explains. Asher Yetze Lefneim means Lei Kederech Malchei Ha'umais. Not in the manner of the monarchical method of the day, which was Sheyeshvim Bevateihem. They sit in the comfort of their own home. U'meshalchem Eschayel Eseyem L'muchama. They send the soldiers off to war. The king doesn't risk his life. The king doesn't stick his neck out. The king is the king. He's where he has to be. The soldiers go to war. No, not like that. Ela kemoisha asisi ani, the way I did it. Shenilchamti besichin ve'oig. I myself, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I engaged in battle. I locked horns with sichin and oig. I brought those kings down. Shenemar, as it says, al tira oisai, Hashem says, do not be fearful of them. And I'm going to be there with you. So it says, do not be fearful. That means Moshe Rabbeinu was fearful. Of what was he fearful? Of sitting back home and sending soldiers off? Of Moshe Rabbeinu himself going out and engaging with Og. And he was afraid that Og has merits. That Og was there in the time of Avraham and he helped Avraham Avinu. So clearly Moshe Rabbeinu was himself engaged and involved. U'chederech. And we know this is what Moshe Rabbeinu speaks of, because this is actually the way Sha'asu Yoshua, that Joshua did when it came to the battles in conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says in the fifth book of Joshua, Yeluch Yeshua Elov, Yeshua goes and he confronts this person, and he has a drawn sword, and Yeshua doesn't send anybody else to confront this person, but Yeshua says to him, Vayomer lo, Yeshua himself says, Halanu ata, are you with us or against us? Who are you? He's a mystery man with a drawn sword. Scary stuff. Yeshua didn't send somebody else to go find out what this guy's up to. He said, what's your story? Are you with us or not? Are you on our team or are you on the other side? You're an enemy, etc. So Yeshua didn't know this was a malach. He didn't know it was an angel. But he went himself. And from this we can see that this was the methodology of Moshe. Because Altira, Moshe didn't have to be afraid. Hashem reassured him that he would be successful in battle. We see this is the methodology of Yeshua, because he's the one who confronts that angel. Unbeknownst to him, it was an angel. He thought it was just a person. And so also is with David HaMelech. He says, Ki hu yoytze uva lefneim. David HaMelech would go and come before them. Yoytze bereish, v'nichnas bereish. He would lead on the way out and lead on the way in. And so, and at all times there was leadership. Leadership in good times and leadership in the best of times. Leadership when it was a frightening situation of battle, he was right out in the front. When things were great, he rejoiced at the front of the nation, both in battle and in victory. So now we know it means Asher Yetze v'Asher Yove. So what does it mean v'Asher Yotzeim? What do you mean that he'll take them out then? He's already going in front of them. He's a leadership position. He gets his hands dirty. He locks horns with the enemy. He's part of the battle. And when it comes to victory, when it comes to the good times, he doesn't say, let the people rejoice and I'll do my own thing. He rejoices with the people. He leads them in their victorious praise. So what's Yotziim? Take them out. So Rashi says, this is Bischu Yosef. We need a person of tremendous merits, because those merits will be, those accrued merits will be spent on the welfare of the people. Vasha Yeviim, once again, Bischu Yosef with his merits. Davar Acher, another interpretation. And here, why is there a redundancy? Asher Yotziim v'Asher Yeviim. Why do you need merits if Yeviim means to bring them home? Why do you need merits for that? So David Acher, another interpretation is Asher Yeviim Shaleisa Soloi Kederach Shata Eisali. Don't do to him like you're doing to me, says Moshe. Me, he gave a position, made me the leader, and I'm not bringing them into Israel. Don't do that to the next guy. Usually a person doesn't succeed himself, he doesn't want anybody else to succeed either. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I didn't get a chance. Please do the same for him. That he's not able to bring them into the land of Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes his request, and God will respond and tell him now Indeed, indeed, you are right. You need a leader, and the leader is right in front of you. God says to Moshe, Kach lecha, as Yehoshua ben Nun. Take Yehoshua, ish asher ruach boy. You asked for a man of spirit. This is the man of spirit. V'samachta es yodcha olav, you will give him smicha. You will lean your hands on him, as if to indicate, we rely on you. We're leaning on you. You're the one who now has the responsibility. Now, what does it mean to take him? Take him? What, put him in your pocket? Manhandle him? So Rashi says, kochenu b'dvarim. Take him with words. Speak captivating words to him. Tell him, asherecha shezachisa lahanig banu shomakim. What a merit you have now. You will lead the children of the omnipresent. The Torah says, lecha es shabaduk lecha. Take him for you. You know him. You know him. You know Moshe, that he has this capability. He's very humble. He's a disciple. He's an acolyte. But you know that he has this. Ezesh atam makir. This is the leader whom you know. Asher ruach boy. He has a man of spirit. Kasher shalta. Just like you asked. What does it mean, a man of spirit? A man of spirit means sheyuchol lahalech kenegaducha shekol echad v'echad. He can relate to everybody. That means a man of spirit. He can relate to all spirits. He's not limited or stymied by his own minutia, by his own orbit, but rather he lives large-hearted and in a large, so to speak, wide-ranging capacity of heart and mind. He's able to relate to everybody around him. You know that he's that person. V'samachta es yodcha olav, you lean on him. What does this mean? I mean, literally to lean on him? So Rashi says it's proverbial. Ten loy miturguman. Give him somebody who will serve as his spokesperson, somebody who will interpret his words so that the people understand. In other words, he should now begin to speak publicly in your lifetime. They won't say about him, Yeshua is a leader now. In the days of Moshe, we never saw you open your mouth, you never raised your head, and now all of a sudden you're going to be a leader. But God says to Moshe, he needs to be a leader now. Not a follower, not a chassid, not a tzevil. He needs to be a leader. And the people need to see that you treat him like a leader. And once they see that he was a leader in your lifetime, then they will accept him in the post-mortem. And the details go on. You place him before Aaron HaKohen, and you will instruct him before their eyes. You'll give some of your glory, some of your radiance upon him. And before Elazar HaKohen, he will ask the Urim V'Tumim, and he's going to work with Elazar HaKohen. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu does everything exactly as God says it. Okay, so let's open the Biurim book. There's two fascinating issues over here that we're going to quickly deal with. The very bottom of page Kuf Nun Aleph. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu want? What was he looking for? He wanted his son to be the ruler. He wanted his son to be the king. Was Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Shalom delusional? Did he not know that his son wasn't so great in Torah? Did he not know Yeshua was greater? He was worried about the people. He wasn't worried about himself. So then why did he ask for his son?
How do you know that?
How do I know?
How do you know that he's asking for a son as opposed to anybody who's deserving, like Yeshua?
So from the words Yifkeit, we have this idea that he's referring to his son. Moshe Rabbeinu had somebody specific in mind. And it follows the children of Tzelofchad. Tzelofchad didn't have the typical heirs, but the heirs were who they were. And so here's what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for. And God says, no, it's not what I had in mind. So look here, the Rebbe quotes a piece from the Megala Amukis, explaining what Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for. Moshe asked, Sheyu shnei b'nei adam hanigim. There should be two leaders. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that his children were not great in Torah. Dahino ish echad al ha'eda. There should be one person that's a political leader. Asha yetzel ufneim b'muchamah, he'll be the commander-in-chief. He'll lead them into battle. Vashi yavi lefneim, who will lead them once again in self-defense of the nation. And then, v'ish echad asher yitzim. One will be Yevim, one will be Yitzim. One will take them out in battle, and one will be the one who brings them forth in Torah. Asher Yevim, b'scho Yosef, has merits, and so on and so forth. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to divide the leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu believed nobody could replace him. He wasn't wrong. There was no second Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody's like Moshe. It says Moshe was like the radiance of the sun. Yehoshua, at best, is metaphorized as the moon, a pale reflection of Moshe. There was no second Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu knew this. Okay, so we have two leaders. have a political leader, a leader who will be the CEO of the Jewish people, or like the king of the Jewish people. And then there'll be somebody else who'll be the Torah leader of the Jewish people. God answered him, you can't have two drivers. There can't be two people that are going to be leading here. One crown cannot be shared by two. You have to have one spokesperson. Somebody's going to call the shots. Can't be two. Rebbe says, it can't be two, eh? Has to be one person. Can't be two. This has to be understood. Why can't it be two? In all the future generations, guess what happened?
It's a melech and there's a navi.
Exactly, there's a melech and a navi, or a melech and a nasi of the Sanhedrin. This is what happened. There was the leadership of the Jewish people in a material sense. And that was b'idei melech, that was in the hands of the king. And was then hagat teiranis. And then there was the Torah leadership. And where was that? B'idei nasi Sanhedrin. That was in the hands of the Sanhedrin. So it's exactly Moshe's vision. Moshe's vision is exactly what unfolded. The Sanhedrin is the judicial branch of the Jewish people that adjudicates Torah, and the Melech, the monarchy, is what deals with self-defense and economic prosperity. That's what a king deals with. The responsibility of taking care of the citizenry. That's actually how it was. Moshe Rabbeinu's vision is spot on. It's 2020 vision. Why did God say no? God said no. No, ask the one person.
Did his children specifically have that kind of qualities?
Moshe Rabbeinu must have known that his children who grew up in house of leadership, who saw how he led, that he had those qualities. Yeshua was greater in Torah, but makes sense. They would have leadership qualities. Moshe Rabbeinu had those genetics. Moshe Rabbeinu's father was a leader. Amram was a leader. Tzipporah was an exceptional person. Her father was a great leader. They should be genetically predisposed to leadership. Should be no issues there. Hahesber lekach, the understanding of this, is rooted in the notion of the difference between the Torah leadership in the days of Moshe and Yehoshua, and in the Torah leadership of future generations, which happened al yedei nasiya Sanhedrin, by the leaders of the Sanhedrin. And this is very, very important to understand. But derdus haboyim, in future generations, generally speaking, who was responsible for Torah? The Sanhedrin was responsible. That's how it was. The Nasi Sanhedrin. So the body of the Sanhedrin, the agency of the Sanhedrin, is responsible for Torah leadership. Now the leader of the Sanhedrin, the senior member, the chief justice, the 71st justice, who Racha Gadol Shabahem, he was only the most important amongst them. But really, in the end, who led? The power is vested in the hands of not an individual, but an agency. Agency of the Sanhedrin. So as the leader of the court, so he was b'mailo ha'elyena b'shtaros ha'teira. So he was on the highest level of the rulership, of the adjudication of Teira. So Teira adjudicated, the courts adjudicated, and who was the head of the court was the head of the Sanhedrin, the Nasi. They didn't have sole proprietorship of the Jewish people. It wasn't like Moshe v'Yeshua. By Moshe v'Yeshua, conversely, Moshe v'Yeshua hayu hasamchus habiladis, the sole proprietorship and leadership of the Jewish people was in their hands. They did not have anybody to consult with. So the Sanhedrin, when it had to deal with an issue, what would it do? It would vote. 71 judges, 36 on one side, 35 on the other. That's law. You couldn't just make law. And we see this in the Mishnah. It says, Moshe kibol Torah misinai, umesara, leyeshua. But then afterwards, who does it say? Well, actually, eventually, Anshei Knesset Gadol, but it goes to Zekanim, Nevi'im, Zekanim. Plural, a plurality of people, an agency of people. Moshe Rabbeinu, sole agency. Yehoshua, he got the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, it's your responsibility, your personal responsibility. You need to make this happen. And Zui Asiba Lekach, this is the reason that in future generations, you actually could have divided the leadership. Because it wasn't divided amongst people, it was divided amongst an agency. It was divided amongst, the power of the Sanhedrin. The leader of the Sanhedrin happened to be the one who would call the shots. He became the figurehead of the Sanhedrin, but ultimately it was the Sanhedrin. This is like the difference between an executive branch of government and between a parliamentary system. So the president of the United States actually is in lieu of a king. But Washington was very smart. He knew that it wouldn't work out with a monarchy. So he said, there'll be a presidency. But the presidency is an executive branch of government. The president has executive powers. He can veto things. He could declare war. He could do things. The prime minister, on the other hand, is just the prime minister of the ministers, whichever party gets the most mandates, whichever party has the most seats in parliament. So the prime minister is the one who leads the government. It's the government of Canada. It's not the prime minister. In the end, the prime minister is the figurehead. In the end, the prime minister does drive the process. But if his own caucus were to outvote him, then it wouldn't be. It would be somebody else. In theory, his own caucus could depose him. Why? Why? Because he's not there. He's not. You don't elect a prime minister. You elect a party. And this is the difference. This is the difference between the Sanhedrin and between the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the reason that in future generations that could work just fine. Because you're not talking about two people who are leading. You're talking about the Sanhedrin that's leading. There'll be a leader of the Sanhedrin. And therefore, the leader of the Sanhedrin, lo haya begedim melech, he wasn't a king. A king is mi she'ein olav al gabav, ela Hashem alikav. The king is, he's answerable only to one, only to God. Ela nachas mena b'dagas, he's on a much lower level. And therefore, there was no issue of having two kings. The king was the king, the Sanhedrin was the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was there as a check and balance for the monarchy, but ultimately, the monarchy functioned independently of the Sanhedrin, and it wasn't two people fighting over the same position, who were trying to occupy the same chair. The Deuter Shel Yeshua, but in the generation of Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, the leadership of the Jewish people could not be divided. Why? Because B'tchum HaTeirani, within the scrimmage of Torah leadership, Yehoshua was Baal Samchas Beladus. He was the one who had the full agency conferred upon him as an individual. Shavius Erech L'Samchus Yishol Melech. That was similar to a king. He got appointed. There wasn't a Sanhedrin that he was the leader of. He was appointed to the leadership. And therefore, Elohaya B'deire Melech Nesef, there'll be another individual who was a sole leader, would have proprietorship. B'tchum Anhaga Gashmias, Ha'yizem Matzav Le'Mekubal, would be a situation that was untenable. It would be Shnei Melachim, two kings that were trying to wear the same crown. So now we know the rise of Yehoshua to royalty was not in a typical Sanhedrin fashion. Yehoshua really was a melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was a melech, and Yehoshua was a melech. He had absolute control over the Torah, and from absolute control over the Torah, he had absolute control over the Jewish people. Which this answers another question, which is in this next section, but we're out of time. And that is, why was Yehoshua not formally appointed as a sovereign? Why didn't he get Mashiach? Why wasn't he anointed? He's supposed to anoint a king. It says, Moshe Melech Hayah. Who anointed Moshe? God anointed Moshe. But now Moshe Rabbeinu was anointing the first king of the Jewish people. Why didn't he anoint him if Yehoshua Melech Hayah? And the answer is that Yehoshua's power did not come from politics. Yehoshua's power did not come from the monarchy. Yehoshua's power came from the Torah. The monarchy was subsumed into his Torah leadership. And therefore he got smicha. Smicha's ordination. Because that was the primary emphasis. Everything else was included in it. This explains how we can understand that Shaul HaMelech is called the first king of Israel. Because prior to Shaul, there was no king per se. He wasn't a political leader. Yeshua was a Rebbe. The Rebbe was also the Melech. But a Melech is smaller than Rebbe. Rebbe is greater. The fact that he had the samchas, that he had the full responsibility of Torah leadership, we the Jewish people are not a nation who also has a Torah. We are, as Reb Sadji Goren wrote, Einu Meinu Uma, our nation is only a nation, Ella a Torah, only by dint of Torah. So if there's a Torah leadership, a Rebbe, then that is the leader. He didn't need to have any other kind of, monarchical appointment. Because Yeshua had a different kind of royalty. And from this we understand that Yehoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu shared much of a common kind, of a kindred leadership. It's a different kind of royalty. A royalty that only lasted for the Jewish people in our first two generations, only under the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu's extension was Yehoshua. And after that, we kind of became more of a regular people. We still lived in a holy way, but we didn't have that kind of leadership, that kind of inspired Torah leadership as we had during the generation of Moshe of Yeshua actually comes to an end afterwards.
So kingship actually happened after the kingship.